We're going to be taking a little bit of a detour from our study through John's gospel as we prepare our hearts for the Advent season, and more specifically, the Christmas season. Last year, we started something new that we're hoping will kind of go viral for our church, at least, and whoever else. But we started something called Adventageous. It's a journey through the Advent season together as we prepare to ready our hearts together and celebrate the coming of the Lord. The word Advent literally means coming, and we coined the word advantageous, and we wanted to take advantage of Advent, right? And so we defined advantageous as capturing and releasing the spirit of anticipation as we celebrate the first and second coming or Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. Capturing and releasing the spirit of anticipation as we celebrate the first and second Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we already secured the www.advantageous.com. You can go on there and read all about what Advent is. There's a devotional that you can work through with your family. I was kind of hoping by now to have a book published called Advantageous. That's my goal for next year. So we'll have our own devotional to kind of go through. But we're looking to really capture this moment and use this as a springboard for lifting up the name of Jesus in our lives, certainly, but also in our community. Normally, when we hear the word Advent in our evangelical churches, we tend to think, well, that's a Catholic thing, or that's a Lutheran thing, or that's some kind of a traditional, like liturgical, or is that a made-up kind of a thing, like Lent? Like, what is that kind of thing? Do we do that as evangelicals, right? How many kind of associated Advent with more traditional kinds of churches? And unfortunately, like so many things in the evangelical church, we tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater on a lot of things, and tradition being one of them, but Advent being another one. I think this is a great area in which we can really learn from some more traditional experiences and start to apply those to our own experience so that we can really capture the true spirit and meaning of Christmas. And so those traditions certainly do those things, but I think we're going to kind of steal it and make it our own. Because I think that there's a danger. We can get through the Christmas season, and we've done that, or we can get the Christmas season through us. Right? How many want to get the Christmas season through us and not just get through it? Right? Well, listen, that's just not going to happen by having it on your wish list. It's not going to just happen by saying, hey, this year we're going to do something different, because how many of us have done that before? Sure we have. Here's the deal. What Advent does is Advent serves as a tool for us to capture, to put on hold, or to slow life down and prioritize the most blessed event that's happened since God said, let there be light, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Advent is going to serve as a tool. What I want to talk to you today is about traditions. Traditions, I think, are something that are becoming less and less appreciated in our culture. How many would agree with that? The breakdown of traditions, in my opinion, has really contributed to the breakdown of the closeness of our extended families. I remember always hearing about growing up and hearing about when my parents would grow up and how the family would always come together. They'd always be gathering around a meal, and things were so simple back then. And everybody would always kind of just, you know, the pasta would get thrown on, and it wasn't so complex. It wasn't so difficult. They just kind of made it happen, right? How many remember those days where it was so easy for the families just to get together? And now it's like so difficult. There's like so many hoops that need to be jumped through and so many calendars that need to be checked off, and something that should have been so easy long ago has become so difficult for us to push. And I think traditions is very much like that. Traditions, and I want to talk to you about traditions today in a very broad sense, because every one of us here have traditions. Bad traditions, good traditions, but things that you look back on and you say, that was something I value. Something, how do you define a tradition? You ever smell something, taste something, see something, and it brings you back to your childhood. It brings you back to a time of like great memories, right? Those traditions help us to remember and recapture those good times in the past. And so we're going to talk about tradition this morning. And my hope is that as we talk about traditions, that you will be challenged and encouraged to maybe recapture traditions that you once had that have been gone by the wayside, or create new traditions in your family. And as we are here this morning and we're Christians, we obviously want to have traditions that will incorporate those in whom we love, but also will have a direction that will make us more and more in love with our Savior. And I submit to you this morning that Advent is a great tradition for us to get a hold of, for us to really jump in on and experience as we prepare our hearts for the Christmas season. We've been digging pretty deep into John's gospel, and I love, those of you who know me know I love to rip apart the Word of God and really make it come alive in our hearts and minds. And I love to take the scripture and verse by verse and open it up. And today's not going to be one of those messages. That's more my comfort zone. I kind of like that. It's actually kind of, it's funny. I kind of struggled a little bit last night working through this message because it's really, it's important to me. It's important to us as a church family. But my comfort zone is more opening the scriptures and making them alive. But as we prepare our hearts for Christmas season, I don't want us to just get through Christmas. I want us to have Christmas get through us. And you see, the reality of it is if we will prepare our hearts for Christmas in a way we never have before, then we will have a Christmas like we've never had before, right? If we come to Christmas in a way that we never have before, we will experience Christmas in a way that we never have before. And that's the hope of our goal, of what I want to encourage and challenge you towards today. And so today is more of a preparation, almost like the longest intro you've ever heard me give on where we're going to be going for the next couple of weeks. I find it interesting that, maybe even sad, as I started to do some research on the concept of tradition, especially in the evangelical resources that I use, I found it to be something that's presented as something that is to be avoided. Something as if it's a bad thing. We live in a culture where anything that's traditional seems to be getting thrown away, like we're trying to reinvent ourselves. We see it certainly going on in the world, but now we're also seeing it taking place in the church. And I think that's a very sad thing. I don't know how much, whether I stand out as a minority in that or not, but one of the things that I think is incredibly valuable for us in the Christian community is to embrace the importance of traditions. And one such tradition that I hope you will greatly consider is celebrating the Advent season together. Christmas is a wonderful time that we come and we gather with our families and we reconnect with our loved ones, and we oftentimes find ourselves talking about days gone by. Hey, remember when so-and-so? Remember when so-and-so was alive? You remember how they used to do this or that? And that's a good thing. That's a blessing to share in those times together. I certainly had no desire to minimize the value of that time together. But what I seek to accomplish in you is the opportunity to add to that wonderful tradition by incorporating a more consistent and guided preparation for your Christmas experience, and hopefully for this year and for many years to come. Advent is just about that. It's about preparing for Christmas. It's about waiting. It's about anticipating. It's about preparing our hearts for the greatest event that has ever happened, the coming of the Savior, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. He was our Savior, and he came as our Savior because we needed saving, right? If you don't need to be saved, then you don't need a savior. What does that mean? Well, we know that Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They disobeyed God and they ate of the tree that they were forbidden to eat. And as a result of that sin, the Bible says, entered into the world and death because of that. And so everyone from Adam and Eve's children on to you and I, we were born with this death sentence. We were born separated from God with original sin in our lives and a kind of sin that keeps us separated from God and keeps us, as scripture says in Romans, under the wrath of God. And so when we are born under the wrath of Almighty God. How many know we need to be saved from that? And so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, should not be under the wrath of God, but have everlasting life in him. And so God provided a way for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And we see right from the beginning, right from the fall of man, that God had a plan for us. Adam and Eve, they sin, they are judged. Satan is judged. And God says to him in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, Satan, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. One more was going to come. This is a promise right from the beginning, right from the fall. God put in place a plan so that man doesn't need to be separated from God, that he doesn't need to be in that needy position of being saved, but he can be saved because the word will become flesh. And one was going to come. Another Adam, a second Adam. And this Adam, in the name of named Jesus, wasn't going to give in to the temptations of Satan. He was going to live a sinless life. He was going to live the life that Adam and Eve were supposed to live as our example. And he was going to take on himself the full punishment, the full wrath of God for us. So that as we look to him, we can trade our predicament for his faithfulness and his righteousness. And when we put our trust in him, then and only then are we truly saved. But right from the beginning of Genesis, we see the finger of scripture pointing to somebody that was going to come. Ready yourselves, prepare your hearts, get ready, he is coming. Isaiah echoes those words for us of the one who was to come, one who we oftentimes read about this time of the year, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah writes in verse 6, for to us a child is born. For to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. I love that. Another way of reading that, which is a little bit more specific, is of the increase of his authority. Is where really where we get the word government from. Of the increase of his authority and of his peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And we see Isaiah writing 750 years before the arrival of the Christ child. He writes, for to us a child is born. For you and for me, because we were in need of his birth. God was never in need of coming. Do you know that? God did not come for himself. God came for you and for me. And Isaiah says, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Because you and I were in need of a savior. Someone who would come for us. And we see all throughout the Old Testament, we see the finger, the prophetic finger of scripture pointing to the one who there is one who is coming, a second Adam who will redeem man back to God. And all the people of God all throughout the Old Testament were waiting. I love the song we sang. This is the one we have been waiting for. This is the one we have been waiting for. This is the one we have been waiting for. And we see that same posture all throughout the Old Testament. As the people of God looked for and longed for that day when Messiah would step out of eternity and into time and put on our skin. And the word would become flesh and dwell among us. He is the one we have longed for. And you see, Advent is a way of remembering not to take for granted the fact that Christ has come for us. but it is putting ourselves in that same waiting mindset so that we would focus our hearts and our attention on the fact that he has come. Christmas Day serves as a great reminder of Emmanuel, God with us. And we live busy lives and crazy times and calendars are filled and all those things. And that could become just another day if we're not careful. And what Advent does is Advent serves as a tool early on to ready ourselves, to position ourselves, to maintain the right posture so that as we come to that blessed season, we will remember the desperate position we were in as we waited for that one who would come. That's why Advent is a great tradition to continue if you've been doing it or to introduce into your lives. It is literally a tool to help you remember what God has done for you. All throughout the Old Testament, we see the children of Israel building remembrances, altars and memorials in places and times that God had done amazing things in their midst. It wasn't so much altars of worship as much as it was altars of remembrance. Points of reference where we can remember that's when God did that. I find that for most of us, if we don't have things that jog our memory, we tend to forget. I've learned that I tend to forget the things I'm supposed to remember and remember the things I'm supposed to forget. Right? We remember the things we're supposed to forget. Whoa, nope, back up. We forget the things we're supposed to remember, and we remember the things we're supposed to forget. And usually the things that we remember the most are the things that are really on our RAM, the things that just happened yesterday. Because things are happening to us so quickly, right? I mean, things are always going on. Lives are being changed, and you know, all kinds of things are being introduced into our crazy, chaotic lives. And it's so easy to forget that which is most important. Well, listen, Jesus is most important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, Jesus said, will be added unto us. And so Advent is a great way of prioritizing. It's a great way of standing against the push of our culture that says you need to buy this, go there, wear this, do that, celebrate this way. Listen, you can do all of that, but make sure it doesn't rob us from celebrating the Savior that has come into the world. And I find that if I don't put memories or things to remind me of that, I mentioned last night in the service, I've got a visual things remind me, help remind me to do things. And I've got a stop sign in my neighborhood. When you're turning onto Hot Water Street, there's two of them coming from both ways. Used to be right in front of your house, Rob. And regardless of which way, whether I'm coming from Sunrise or from 495, I've got to come to that stop sign. That stop sign, the visual of that stop sign when I'm coming home from work reminds me of something. Every time I see it, I kind of get a little bit of a chuckle on the inside. It reminds me that I'm not coming home as pastor. That I need to leave the things of my day at the office. That I need to come home and be dad. I need to come home and be husband. I need to come home and give of myself and not bring the stuff from the day into my home because you've been there, done that, right? And so this stop sign reminds me, stop, remember you're entering family zone. And see, those visual reminders, great way to, guys, let me just kind of, as a PS, if your wife's going like this, you know, find something, find a stop sign, find a yield sign, find something, find a dead turtle on the road, whatever it is, find something to remind you, right? That listen, when you're going home, as different than when the place you just left, right? And you see, those visual reminders serve as great tools to prioritize the things that are most important. And Advent is exactly that. The people of God throughout the centuries would build altars and places that would cause them to remember the many ways in which God provided for them and protected them. A reminder that every time they saw it, it reminded them, wow, remember when God provided the manna? Do you remember when God provided the water? Do you remember when God gave us Jericho? Do you remember when God split the Red Sea? Do you remember all of those things? As we've been going through John chapter 7 and 8 recently, we considered the Feast of Booths. And I talked about the fact that that was really their Thanksgiving, much like we celebrate today. That was their moment to take a moment of pause in the Feast of Booths, and they would remember the many ways in which God took care of them. And I talked about how there was a lot of symbolism in the Feast of Booths, and the priest would pour the water around the altar, and that water was a reminder of the way in which God provided water for them in the desert from the rock. And so when they poured the water, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that story. I remember when God did that. And they'd light up these candles, these torches in the courtyard and light it up. And it would remind them, oh, do you remember the time that God led our forefathers? A cloud by day, a fire by night. God led them through the Red Sea. God provided for heat for them at night and shade for them during the day. God provided for them. And so they had these symbols, these reminders. Another great feast that they would celebrate was the Passover. A wonderful time for them to remember that God delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians. And they would come, remember Moses, let my people go, right? And Pharaoh would say no, and God would send plagues, and God would send time after time again. Finally, they were released. But they would celebrate after the final plague, where the death angel would take the firstborn. They would celebrate this Passover meal. And there were certain elements that were a part of that Seder dinner, that Passover meal. How many of you ever sat at a Passover or a Seder dinner? Man, I'd say we need to have one here someday. What a great way of connecting the Old Testament to the New and just really experiencing all that was going on in that Last Supper and then also in the New Covenant in which we live today. But in that Passover meal, on that plate that they would have, they'd have certain symbols. They would have parsley that was dipped in salt water. And it would remind them of the tears that were shed when they were in bondage under slavery. They would have a shank bone of a lamb, and that would remind them of the 10th plague on the Egyptians, the death of the firstborn. They would have a hard-boiled egg on that plate, and it would serve as a symbol of mourning for the loss of their two temples. They would have bitter herbs that were on the plate. And those bitter herbs would remind them of the bitter time that they had under the slavery of Egypt. They would have mortar that would be present, and that mortar would remind them of the harshness of the Pharaoh who would have them create the mortar so they could build the blocks and work for them. Each of these items brought to the Seder dinner, they served as a reminder. They were tools to remind them. They were traditions that served a greater purpose than the event itself. It served as a reminder of what God has done for them, where God brought them. And you see, what traditions do for them, they do for us as well. It's so easy in our fast-paced, calendar-filled, every moment busy society to forget to take a moment of pause and to consider what God has done for us. Now, many of you probably have done it this past week as it's Thanksgiving, a reminder to do what we should be doing every day of our lives, giving thanks. But in the midst of a normal week, in the midst of a normal month, how often do we take that moment of pause and consider what God has done for us? And traditions are great ways for us to recapture that. And so what I want to do in our remaining time this morning is I want to take a couple of moments in the spirit of the 12 days of Christmas. I want to give you 12 things that traditions do for us. We'll talk about the value of tradition. And I'm going to just give you a heads up real quick. I'm going to give you a real broad list. And I'm going to let you fill in the experiences in your own mind because they're going to be as diverse as the day is long. But I want to talk to you about the importance of tradition. Tradition to be continued, right? Again, and maybe you had them and lost them and you need to recapture them. Or maybe you never had them and you need to recreate them. Or maybe you had them and the people you experienced them with are no longer a part of your life. And they need to be recreated in your home and in your family, no matter how big or small that is. Listen, traditions don't necessarily demand a large audience. Because traditions are tools to remind us of things. And so a couple of things that I want to bring to your attention, things, 12 ways in which reasons I value tradition. 12 things that traditions do for us. Number one, traditions protect the original purpose of an occasion. Traditions protect the original purpose of an occasion. Have you been grieved to see what Christmas has evolved into in our culture? Does it grieve you to see that what Easter has evolved into in our culture? It is such a distant memory of what it truly is, or a distant reflection of what Easter and Christmas truly is. And what traditions do is it allows us the opportunity to preserve the original intent for why we gather. Secondly, traditions remind us of where we came from. Traditions remind us of where we came from. The older we get, the more natural it is to distance ourselves from what we were. But the reality is, who we are is really a reflection of what has been a part of our lives all along. And you see, for the more we distance ourselves from those things, the more we'll forget where we came from. I love talking to people who know where they came from, good, bad, or ugly, right? They haven't forgotten. No matter how successful they became, they remember where they came from. And you see, our remembrance of where we came from really sets us up to appreciate where we may be today. Traditions remind us where we came from. Thirdly, traditions reconnect us with our past. Traditions reconnect us with our past. Listen, we can't live in the past. But the more we're willing to reconnect with our past, the more we'll understand ourselves, the more we'll understand our families, the more we'll understand our culture, because that's what's made us who we are today. Number four, tradition promotes the group over the individual. We live in a very self-centered society, don't we? And see, what traditions do, tradition promotes the group over the individual. Traditions help us to remember that the world doesn't revolve around me. That I'm just a small part of a much bigger story. I'm a small part of a much bigger family. I'm a small part of a much bigger community. Number five, tradition creates MTRs, moments to remember. Tradition creates moments to remember. There's nothing like sharing our experiences and our stories together. Those remember whens. Sometimes the most extraordinary things happen in the midst of the most ordinary times. Isn't that right? We need to ensure that those ordinary moments happen in your family, because those ordinary moments set the stage for MTRs, moments to remember. But see, if we don't embrace or allow for tradition to be carried out in our lives, then we will fill our schedule with everything else that will rob us from enjoying that time with one another. Number six, tradition gives us a sense of belonging. Family traditions remind us that we're a part of another group. We're connected to other people who share some of our history, some of our values, and some of our experiences. I just want to challenge our parents this morning. Listen, the more you minimize tradition in your home, then the less your children will feel like they really belong. And the less they feel like they belong with you and your family, the more they'll find a place where they can belong. And we see people making connections everywhere but in their family. Why? Because of the erosion of traditions in our families. Number seven, traditions help people find their identity. Traditions are great because it gives a person a sense of identity. I belong to this group of people. We live in a culture where people don't know who they are. Perhaps the reason we're seeing such an increase in gang activity is because we've got such a disconnected group of young people who are trying to find a place in where they belong, a place where they can be identified with another group of people. And traditions help people find their identity. Number 8, traditions promote family's values. Traditions is the setting where values are employed and practiced and learned. It is in those moments where we spend that time as a family that our values are communicated. Number 9, tradition creates a sense of security. Tradition creates and fosters the emotional security that is needed to ensure a person is a part of a loving community. When that is in place, a person learns to be secure in who they are. When that is not in place, they will struggle to find acceptance and security in everything else their whole life. Additionally, security often comes from repetition, which is the very nature of tradition. Number 10, tradition bridges the gap between generations. And that's so important. There's so much that can be learned from parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles. Even if you don't come from a Christian heritage, there's such value in listening to those who grew up in that family years ago. There's always something we can learn from them. We live in a time where there is a real lack of appreciation for those who are older. And nothing will keep a generation more shallow than having a generational disconnect with their parents or with their past. Nothing will keep a generation more shallow than a disconnect from their past. Number 11, tradition encourages family time together. Traditions encourage and provide a reason to come together. Christmas is a wonderful time of year that you know, at this point, most places are closed, right? And it gives us an occasion for us to come together. Obviously, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, Christmas, Jesus was not born on December 25th. Most likely, he was probably born sometime in March. But December 25th is the occasion that we set aside to celebrate the birth of the Savior. And see, what traditions do is they give us a reason to come together. It gives people something to look forward to in the midst of what is usually a very busy schedule and a chaotic life. And then last and not least, I know there's so many others, but traditions remind us to slow down and prioritize. They remind us to slow down and we prioritize. We don't naturally do this. Slowing down sometimes takes more work than work itself. Isn't that right? Slowing down takes effort. Prioritizing takes effort. But when we commit ourselves to the importance of time with family and reconnecting with our past, we find that it's well worth the effort. And it sets us up to be able to continue these rich traditions to our children and hopefully to our grandchildren as well. And listen, what's true for our blood family is certainly true for our church family. Maybe you're here today and you have no connection whatsoever with your blood family. Listen, I don't want to minimize this one bit when I say to you that the blood of Jesus that makes us family makes us as much family as our blood family. We have been washed and redeemed and brought into the family of God. Listen, either that's just good Bible stuff reading or that's reality. And I choose to think that that's reality. Because if I say it's not, that's not reality, then what else can I toss out of the scriptures? We are the family of God. And listen, the church is not there to replace your family. Too many times we see that happen, right? The church is not there to replace our family, but it is to supplement. It is to add to. It is to incorporate and build onto the rich heritage of who you are and what you want to invest into your children together. And so again, I know I'm speaking about traditions in a very broad sense, and I'm doing that on purpose, because I'm sure that as I mentioned each one of those things, different experiences popped into every one of your minds. But here's the tradition that I want to encourage you to introduce, recapture, promote in your home. Next week, December 2nd, begins Advent. It is 4 weeks of focusing on the greatest event, as I said before, that has ever happened since God said, "Let there be light." The Word becoming flesh. And what I want to encourage you as a church family to do is to take 10, 15 minutes every single day from December 2nd till December 25th to prioritize this blessed event. I mentioned to you in an email, if you didn't get your email, then we don't have your information. Please give it to us and we'll pass it on to you. But I encourage you to get a hold of an Advent devotional if you don't have one already. We're ordering some. If you want one, there's a sign-up sheet. We can get it for you. There's a free one that we're going to have on advantageous.com. That's our website. Just tools, resources for you to go through as an individual or for you to go through as a family every single day during the Advent, a time for us to prepare our hearts. Because again, if you approach Christmas like you never have before, you will have a Christmas like you've never had before, right? And I think that would be a really great way to honor the Lord, a great tradition to introduce to your family, a great tool to be able to keep us poised and positioned so that Christmas, the Christmas season, goes through us instead of us just going through it. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you for our time together today. Lord, thank you for this blessed time of year, this wonderful opportunity we have to put the spotlight on the one who came and the reason in which we celebrate. I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, put a conviction in our hearts as your people to not miss this time. Lord, to not get caught up with all of the busyness that robs us from enjoying this beautiful season. I pray, Lord, that you would just sprout in each and every one of our hearts a desire to honor you, to honor our families this Christmas season. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.